Good morning, Valley Bible Church. Beautiful day, beautiful weekend. 4th of July coming up. Welcome. It's good to have you here this morning. And we just sang the Lord's Prayer, but I'd like you to pray with me. So would you join with me as we pray together? Father, we praise you for being a God who knows us from the end, from the beginning. What you open, no one can shut. What you shut, no one can open. You are indeed the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We bow to you this morning and worship you as our God, as our Savior. And Lord, would you search our hearts, see if there be any hurtful way in us. Show us any sin that is in our lives. We confess to you that we still fall far short of your glory, of your perfections. We ask that you would cleanse us from all unrighteousness according to the promises of Scripture, by the power, by the death of Christ, his blood, his resurrection, that we would be cleansed, that our hearts would be open before you, and that you would teach us now. Grow us in godliness, Father. Thank you for our salvation. I pray for anyone here who does not know Christ as Savior, that the gospel would be known to them and that they would believe. And in all these things, we pray, Father, for your glory, that you'd be seen, that you'd be known, that your character would be observed and celebrated. And these things we pray all now in the name of Christ, our Savior. Amen. Last week, we prayed together, Ephesians 3. The week before that, Chris prayed it for us, and this morning we're going to read it, so we're going to get another healthy dose of that. So if you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to read this great prayer of the Apostle Paul, Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 21. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord stands forever. Would you stand with me, please? Ephesians 3, beginning at verse 14, the Word of God. And Paul said, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Amen. Please be seated. We are in a series called A Glorious Church, A Church Glorious. And that we're going to be in this all summer long. We're not in a book of the Bible. We're talking about who we are as a church. What is the church? What are our distinctives of Valley Bible Church? Why are we here? Why do we gather every Sunday? What is it we're trying to accomplish? And one of the things at the top of the list is to be a people of prayer. And we talked about that last week. We are a church glorious, and this prayer in Ephesians 3 is a prayer glorious, as there are many prayers in the Old Testament and New Testament alike that are glorious prayers about what God is trying to achieve in this world. And what we saw last week was basically this: our prayers are fueled by the glory of God. As we understand the richness of God's glory, it should fuel our prayers. It should cause us to pray more, to pray in faith, believing, and to ask for big things. And we saw this. We are to remember that we're talking to God. when we pray, you're not just talking into the air. You're talking to the living God. This is a personal relationship. And so we talked about postures of prayer, for instance. I have to tell you, Miriam Larson sent me a little note this week. As you remember, Jerry Larson, who was one of our elders, went home to be with the Lord a couple months ago. And he always ended all of our meetings, our elders' meetings, with prayers. And so she was cleaning out his desk, and she came across with jokes. He always ended our meetings with jokes. And she came across this joke and sent it to me. And I don't have his comedic timing, but here is the joke about postures and prayer. There were three pastors, and they were talking about postures and prayer. And the first pastor said, The way to pray is to stand with your hands upraised to the Lord, and that's the most effective way to pray. And the second pastor said, no, I think the most effective way to pray is to get on your knees before the Lord, and that's the right way to do it, and God answers those kinds of prayers. And a third man, the third pastor, said, well, I think the best way is just to get on your face before the Lord and just pour out your heart to Him. Now, all along, there was a telephone repairman who was working in the room, and he was listening to them talking, and he couldn't take it anymore, and he said, guys, you got it all wrong. My best praying was done hanging upside down from a telephone pole. It's usually when we pray the best, when we have our backs up against the wall. The important thing is to remember that we're talking to the living God and to pray for His priorities. God has certain priorities. We saw the priorities in this prayer, like we read this morning. He prays for faith and strength and guidance and people to grow in love. And yes, we pray for requests, safe journeys, deliverance, forgiveness, provision, all those things. But there is a deeper understanding of prayer, to pray for the priorities of God and also to pray according to the scale of the riches of His glory. Yes, He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the entire universe. He is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. And we ask too little. We don't ask big enough. And our prayer should be scaled in proportion to His glory. So that's last week. If you didn't watch that or listen to that, I encourage you to go and listen to it and watch it. I think it will help you to understand what we're trying to get at as a church at Valley Bible Church. And I want to ask this of you this morning as we proceed. What do you think is the purpose of prayer? What is the purpose of prayer? Obviously, the most immediate thing we would say is to get answers, for God to do things. In fact, James says the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. So we would think of effective prayer and the purpose of prayer as asking and seeing God answer those prayers. Answers to prayer are included as the purpose of prayer, but there's more to it than that. It is to change things. It is to change things and to bring glory to God. We are asking God to change the world. We're asking Him to change circumstances, and that's what prayer is about. And when we pray those things, we're asking God, would you do these things for us that we cannot do for ourselves, and would you bring glory to yourself? One of the keys to the purpose of prayer and effective prayer is that this is something that we do together. We are to pray together. We want to truly pray together as a church, as a family, as a body, as a church. We want to pray corporately. We want to really do that. Acts 2:42 says of the early church, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Now, they weren't devoting themselves to the apostles' prayers. They were devoting themselves to the teaching of the apostles, but they were praying together. And all throughout the book of Acts, and I looked this out, I studied this out, over and over and over again, you saw the believers getting together and praying together. And here's the distinction I'm making. This morning, on Sunday morning, when we come together in the service, we pray. And yes, we open and we close and pray, but it's usually one person, right? I stand up here and pray. Chris may pray. Jerry prayed this morning. And we invite you to join us, and you're listening, and you're Hopefully your hearts are praying at the same time, but your heart goes where the prayer leads you, and only one person is really praying in that sense. And we all have a responsibility to learn to pray individually as well as together, and we need to learn how to talk to God together. Together, talk to God. So, one person leading in a prayer on Sunday morning and closing in prayer is not us really praying together, is it? I think there's a deeper level of corporate prayer where all of us pray in some way. And we want to learn how to pray more corporately in the worship service, in our life groups, in prayer events. The prayer event that's coming up on the 14th is to pray for Vacation Bible School, and it's going to be crazy in here because people are going to be setting up, but we're going to gather and we're going to pray for those children and their brothers and sisters and moms and dads, and we're going to ask God to do some great things at that prayer event. And we want to change the culture, if you will, so that prayer becomes part of the rhythm of Valley Bible Church. And we have a prayer team, and we want to encourage you in that prayer team. And this is one way in which listening to last week's sermon, if you missed it, would help you to understand what we are thinking about for our prayer team. I'm going to ask Pam Doy to come up and just address you for a moment. We have this prayer warrior who has been part of our prayer ministry for many years, and Pam is excited about prayer always, and so I'm going to ask her to just talk to you for a moment about prayer.
Thank you, Ben. I've been with Valley Bible Church ever since it existed, pretty much, and been part of a prayer team that looks at it differently over the years. Right now we have a prayer team that prays over the connection cards that you turn in, the prayer requests. And there are a group of five of us ladies that meet on Mondays, and we make an email that we send out to the prayer team to let you know how to pray for our body and others that our bodies knows. And then in the past, though, we've had a team that would meet like an hour before the service started on Sundays, and we'd pray about the service and Sunday school and the safety team, the welcoming people, and all that, too. And I kind of would like to see that started up again. I'm the last person of the last team. Here's still a Valley Bible of that team that prayed before services. I think that's really a vital thing because God hears. And being on a prayer team, as Ben mentioned, the effective prayers of a righteous man availeth much. So it keeps you on your toes to be close to God, to hear what he has to say, and be repentant when... which I've done a lot, done wrong things, or gone the wrong way, had the wrong attitude, whatever it might be. So the prayer team not only helps in sending out the prayers and everything, it also keeps you accountable to the Lord because you want your prayers to be effective. You want him to hear and answer. So I just, in the bulletin, it has my email address, and you can just email me to let me know if you'd like to join in the email part of the prayer team. And also, if the Lord is nudging you to be part of a Sunday morning prayer team, I would welcome you to mention that in the prayer, in the email also, and we could get a Sunday morning team started.
Thank you, Pam. Thank you very much. The effective prayer of a righteous woman accomplishes much. And men, women, children. And we all want to be effective in our prayers. And so I'd like us to look at some ways in which we can pray effectively and pray corporately. And the first is this. Pray for God to change things. And I know it sounds pretty obvious. Of course we want things to change. But pray for God to change things because, like we said, James 5:16 says, the effective prayer of a righteous man or woman, a righteous person, it can accomplish much. And of course, we want to see God do things, don't we? We want to see him change circumstances and people's lives and things. We want him to answer our prayers. And prayer is all about asking God to do things for us. Prayer, it then, is this. It really is a recognition of a number of things. It's a recognition that there are some things that are not right, and they need to change. It's a recognition that we are powerless to change those things. And it's a recognition that I have faith that God can change those things. That's really prayer in a nutshell, isn't it? Some things need to change. I can't change those things. But I believe with all of my heart that God can change those things. And so prayer is the working out of that. It is the recognition that, Lord, I am helpless before you, but you are sovereign and you are unlimited. I am limited in my ways and my abilities, but there is no limit with you. And so I beseech you, I humble myself before you, and I ask of you that you would do these things that I cannot do for myself. In asking for God, we are depending on him for those things that we are incapable of completing. Now, you can rely on yourself. Instead of, if you're going on a vacation and say, before you leave, you pray with your family, Lord, give us a safe trip. You can not pray that, and you can just drive safely, right? And you can drive safely home. Fine. If you want to do that. But the Christian life is a conscious demonstration, a conscious dependence, and a conscious inclusion of God in everything in our life, so that when we do pray for that safety, when we pray for that deliverance, when we pray for the provision for the money or the car or whatever it may be, when we pray for those things, we are inviting God to take part in our lives, and we are including him, and that's part of what godliness is. Prayer is a way of demonstrating to God that we depend upon him. C.S. Lewis put it this way, relying on God has to begin all over again every day as if nothing had yet been done. In other words, you don't just pray something once, and I prayed for a safe trip, or I prayed for deliverance, I prayed for provision. Every single day we come to him with dependence anew, with a new renewed understanding and reliance upon him. It's this recognition and this declaration that I cannot do these things, but I ask you, God, by your grace to do them. Things that we cannot do for ourselves. Circumstances that we cannot change. And there are people whose hearts we cannot change. Isn't that right? You ever try to change somebody? Husbands try to change their wives. Wives try to change their husbands. Teachers try and change their students. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Bosses try and change you. Yes, we can train our children and we can form their character, of course. But can you change a person's heart? Of course not. Which brings us to our second point. Pray for God to change people. Pray for God to change people. Change for God. Pray for God to change hearts and lives. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1 says this, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you. The word of the Lord is the gospel. And he tells the Thessalonians, he says, pray for me that the word that I'm preaching, the same word that you received, the same gospel that you believe that changed your lives, will change others. As we have had our lives changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, we shouldn't keep that to ourselves. That should be something that we want to help others and pray for others to come into an experience of, that they would experience the same benefit of grace that we have benefited from Christ our Savior. You've probably heard this before. Prayer changes things. You heard that before? You've seen another bumper sticker. Many of you may have you might have a plaque at home or a wall hanging or something that says, prayer changes things. It's an old saying. But probably more important is this. Prayer changes us. Prayer changes us. It's more important than changing things, really. Things are going to come and go. Circumstances are going to come and go. And yes, we want to see God do those things. But God is all about changing people. He is all about changing us, and prayer is one of those things. Our spiritual formation is largely determined by our prayers, what we pray and how we pray. So prayer changes us. James 5:16 again says, the effective prayer of a righteous man or woman can accomplish much. And Pam said it. Keeps me on my toes to walk with God. The effective prayer of righteous people is not just anybody praying, but we have to be walking with the Lord and we have to be walking in righteousness. Again, our spiritual formation is determined by our prayers. And as we pray and as we walk with God, they all work together to make us more and more righteous. The person is not righteous on their own, of course. None of us are. We have a righteousness that comes from Christ. We are justified by faith. But as we come to Christ and we are infused and indwelled with the Holy Spirit of God, then our affections and our desires and our love for things come in line with what God loves and desires. We desire what He desires. We love what He desires. And therefore, our prayers line up with Him. Our prayers line up with what He wants. Because we are living righteous lives. We are seeking to be righteous. And as you are righteous, then you pray prayers, they're going to be God's will, and then you're going to see Him do more and more things. There might be a little twist to your prayer because you're walking with God. It might be different from what other people are asking, but it will be in line with the righteousness of God. This person's prayers will be more aligned with God's priorities and purposes when they're walking with God and living out a righteous life. How does God change us? How does God change people? Well, I'm going to give you about six ways in which He changes people. And the first is this. We are changed toward holiness through confession. We have to start there. Confession. What is the place of confession in prayer? A key to effective prayer is this from Psalms. If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. There's sin in our lives. I mean, the prayer of a righteous man will be effective and accomplish much. But for those of us who harbor sin, if we're keeping it close, if we're not confessing it, if we're not forsaking it, don't be surprised if your prayers are not answered. Isaiah 59 says, your prayers have made a separation between you and your God, and He doesn't hear. He doesn't hear us when we are in sin and we continue in sin and we know that it's sin and we are unwilling to confess it and to forsake it. But when we do, God is faithful, just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus said this, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. He's not talking about money here. He's talking about forgiving people who have sinned against us. That's part of the Lord's Prayer. We are to ask for daily forgiveness, and we are to forgive daily. If there is something between you and another brother or sister in Christ, and you cannot forgive them, you will not forgive them, Jesus said, if you don't forgive others, I'm not going to forgive you, in the sense of, I'm not going to hear your prayers. So confession is a key part of prayer and growing in holiness and effective prayer and being a righteous man in or woman. We must be people who confess our sins to God. And from Genesis to Revelation, the model prayers that are given to us all demonstrate to us people praise God and then they ask for forgiveness when they see that He is holy and perfect. And we must do that on a daily basis. Because my sin doesn't just affect me. My sin affects you. Does your sin affect me? Absolutely. My sin affects my wife, my family, and hers me. We do not live independent of one another. We are a body, corporate. We are a family. And when each of us are in sin and we do not confess that, it affects everyone. But we are to grow in holiness. James 5:16. Here's the rest of that verse, by the way. It says this. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. See the context? It's in those of us who have gone off the rails. It doesn't mean you need to stand up in church and confess your sins. But if you need to, if it's appropriate, go into another brother and say, I've sinned against you and I'm sorry. Or I'm struggling in this area with sin in my life. You see, the corporate nature of praying with one another and for one another, even when it comes to confession, and when we confess our sins, and that brother or that sister who is righteous and walking with God, and they pray with us and help us to seek the forgiveness of God, we are restored and much is accomplished. So we grow in holiness and toward holiness through confession in prayer. Second of all, we are changed from worldly to spiritual through prayer. From worldly to spiritual through prayer. Paul, in that great other prayer at the end of Ephesians in chapter 6, when he's talking about our battle is not against flesh and blood, but we are in a spiritual battle. And he says this in Ephesians 6:18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. It's a bit mysterious to me, as I think it is to you as well. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? I think it means a lot of things. But I think it means more than just repeating words. It means more than just reading prayers off a list. It means more than just prayer becoming mechanical. It means that we're inviting God. There's a recognition that He really lives in us, that the Spirit of God is in us, that He helps us when we don't know what to pray, that He intercedes for us, that we're praying in a relationship, and again, not just perfunctory prayers, remembering that we do not battle against flesh and blood, but that this is a spiritual battle. In other words, prayer is a spiritual endeavor. Prayer is a spiritual endeavor. It's not just something that we do on the outside, but it is something that our heart has to be engaged in. Thus, when we do that, we are growing spiritually, and we are being changed spiritually as well. Third, we are changed from undisciplined to dedicated through prayer. From undisciplined to dedicated. All of us want to do better. All of us need to be more disciplined with prayer. I need to. We all need to. There probably isn't one person in here, like we said last week, who has this whole prayer thing wired. But there's a place for perseverance, for stick-to-itiveness, for tenacity in prayer. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, models this for us, and he teaches it for us as well. In Ephesians 1:16, he says this. He says, I do not cease giving thanks for you while mentioning you in my prayers. I do not cease giving thanks for you while mentioning you, making mention of you in my prayers. I have a list of about close to 20 places where the Apostle Paul talked about his perseverance in prayer. Let me just read a couple more. Colossians 1:4, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus. Colossians 1:9, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Sometimes we start to pray for someone and then we cease. We forget about it. We lose the oomph. Paul didn't do that. He persisted. 1 Thessalonians 3:10, he says this, as we night and day keep praying most earnestly that we may see your face and may complete what is lacking in your faith. Night and day we labor earnestly. Prayer can be labor sometimes. Yes, it's easy because we can always talk to Him. But it is also something that we, once we lose the luster, we're kind of excited about it, we're teaching it right now, we're studying it, and we're trying to pray more. In a couple of weeks, we lose the momentum. Paul didn't do that. And he says to us, don't do that. Persevere. Be tenacious in your prayers, night and day, constantly, earnestly. So he modeled that in his own prayer life, but he also teaches it in a verse that we all know, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Now, Some people say, well, that's what I do. I just pray without ceasing all the time. I just always pray. But I don't really have a time where I talk to God individually because I just pray without ceasing because that's what the Bible says. And other people say, well, I don't really do that whole pray without ceasing thing, you know, praying everywhere all the time, because I have this time where I seek God just alone in the morning. You know what? Is it one or the other? It's both. It's both. Every instance that is described in the Scripture of people praying is that they go alone to be with God, and they get in the prayer closet. They do this in secret. They're face to face with God. They acknowledge Him, and they talk to God. And it is a dedicated time of seeking the face and the favor of God and pouring one's heart out to Him. And then throughout the rest of the day, yes, we should be praying without ceasing. The point is, prayer is persistent. Prayer is something that we should continually be dedicated to, because we are pretty much undisciplined when it comes to this. And the more we do it, the more we pray without ceasing, the more we dedicate time before Him on our knees, on our face, sitting, standing, whatever it is we do, the more we are going to pray without ceasing. So when we do this, we are actually growing in that discipline of prayer. Fourth, we are changed from dissatisfied to thankful through prayer. All of us are this way sometimes. We're dissatisfied. I do it sometimes. You do it sometimes. We complain. Something's not right, you know. I wish this would happen. I wish there were more. I had more of this. I wish this person would, yeah. And we're sometimes dissatisfied with our life, and we don't find a deep satisfaction in the goodness of God. We need to say thank you. You know the old saying? Hearts like doors open with ease when you say thank you and if you please. Learning to be polite. And you know what we will do? We'll be sitting at a dinner table. We'll say, will you pass the salt, please? Thank you. Sometimes we're more polite with other people than we are with God. We don't say thank you. We don't keep track of what God is doing. We do not say thank you. We need to make this part of our prayer life and our life together, that we are saying thank you to God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You want to know God's will for you? To give thanks in everything, every situation, everything that comes up, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whatever happens. You can always find something to give thanks to God for. And we must learn how to do that. In everything, give thanks. To circle back and to say thank you to the Lord. This morning, I don't know if you noticed the difference in the connection card. It's too late now. But there is a place for prayer requests, but there's also a place for answered prayers. We want to start doing that because one of the things we want to do is be able to recognize the answers to prayer. We get all sorts of prayer requests. Once in a while, we'll get someone who will say, yeah, thanks for praying because this happened. But when was the last time you circled back to God after praying for something and said, thanks? I mean, we do it all the time, don't we? I mean, Lord, give us a safe trip, and you drive somewhere, and you drive back, and what do? You just go on with life. Do you say, thanks, God, that I made it back? We pray for a surgery. God, the surgery's coming up. Would you help that it would go well and it would be successful and complete and that I would heal? So you go to the doctor, you go to the hospital, you have surgery, you come home and you get well over 6-8 weeks. Do you say thanks? Or was it just all at the head end? We're asking for something. We should learn to pray and to look back on what God is doing and thanking Him for those things. You also see in your bulletin is a little card that says answered prayers. And I encourage you to this week, take this home, take some time before God and ask Him, Lord, show me what I've prayed for recently where You've answered. Even the simplest things, if it was a safe trip, or if it was something huge like you needed money or a new job or whatever it was, do you circle back and say, thank You? That's really the Christian life, isn't it? that we are always coming back with a heart of gratitude. We're always recognizing that I not only ask for God to do things, but I also recognize when He does those things because He's a gracious and good God, and I want to say thank you, Lord. We need to develop these hearts of gratitude rather than just being dissatisfied and grumbling and complaining about things. Next, number five, we are changed from reticence to spontaneity through prayer. We want to be spontaneous in our prayers. Ephesians 6:18 says this, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times. At all times. We kind of relegate prayer to, we pray at the beginning of the service, maybe in the service, pray at the end of the service, pray in the morning, pray for meals. We pray at life groups, and we have different times that are dedicated to prayer, and that's right. But I would like to encourage you to pray together. Think about this. On any Sunday morning, you come in before the service, you're visiting people. After the service, you're talking to people in here or out in the foyer between services. And you see people that you know, and you come up to them, you say, hey, how's it going? And most people say, what do they say? Good. Once in a while, they'll say good, they'll say doing great, they'll say better than I deserve, they say all sorts of things, right? But a lot of people oftentimes will say, you know, it's been a rough week. My dog died. My kids are acting up. I don't know what's going to happen at work. We're going on a trip this week. Something, they tell you something that's happening in their life. And maybe it's a difficulty, maybe it's a good thing. And what do we say? I'll pray for you. Yeah, I see a look on your face. And do we? Sometimes I confess to you that I say that many times and I don't follow through like I say I will. How about this? How about right then, take that person's hand, put the hand on that person's shoulder, say, let me pray for you. Can I pray for you now? And just something simple. Father, I thank you for my sister Jill. She's seeking your wisdom. Would you grow her in grace? In Jesus' name, amen. Something simple. A couple of sentences. I would love to see that on Sunday morning in this room, in the foyer, from time to time, people bowing their heads, putting arms around one another, holding hands, and praying with one another. That's what praying together means. Don't just leave it to the professionals up front or those who are called to do this up front. This is something that we are all to do. We are to pray corporately together. And this is one simple way that I would like us really to learn how to do in church. The sixth is this. We are changed from timid to courageous through prayer. We all want to become better prayers. I think we do. If you are a believer and Christ lives in you, you're really seeking to walk with Him, then you want to become a better prayer. Ephesians 3:11 and 12 say this, the mystery of the gospel, this was in accordance with the eternal purpose which He carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in Him. Every believer, We can come to Him boldly. We can come to Him confidently by faith in Him. The way is open for us to talk, and we should be bold. And I want to speak very gently and kindly to some of you this morning who struggle with praying out loud. You need to grow in this area. I would like you to grow in this area. I think God wants you to grow in this area. I understand you're shy. You don't know what to say. I've heard it 30-plus years in ministry and in groups and in men's studies, and people say, you know, I just don't want to pray out loud. I can't pray. I understand you're afraid that you might say the wrong things. You feel that you might pray the wrong way. There's no wrong way to address God. I want you to remember that who are you talking to? You're talking to Him. You're not talking to the people. You're praying together, yes. No one's going to judge you for your prayers or your words. just talk to him. When you talk to other people, do you talk out loud? Or do you use mental telepathy? I know some guys, you've heard from your wife for many years, you know, what am I, a mind reader? No, God can. Yes, God can hear your silent prayers and he can hear your thoughts. But again, why not verbalize our prayers with God? We'll talk to people. Isn't he real? Of course he's real. He's right there. I think perhaps, let me give you some pointers here. Perhaps the place to start is in secret. To start to talk to God out loud in secret. So find a time where you just pray and you just talk to God out loud. And maybe write out a prayer. Maybe write something out because you don't know what to say. Think it through. Pray with your mind. There is a place for written prayers in the Scriptures. The Psalms, many of them are prayers. The Lord's Prayer is a written prayer. Why cannot we write our own prayers out? And maybe this is something you can do, just maybe a prayer for a certain amount of time, a certain thing, something is happening in your life right now, and every day you recite that prayer to the Lord with your heart. And then when he answers, you don't have to pray that one anymore. Maybe write a new one. But keep it simple. And be courageous. Be confident. Be bold, because God has given you this great privilege of prayer. And you know what? When you pray, you're blessing others as well. And when we don't pray out loud, we're not blessing others. We're not participating. So I encourage you to do that. I understand it may be hard, and we are everybody's patient with everybody who doesn't pray out loud in groups. I know we are. But I encourage you to consider that and even pray silently, to pray out loud. And God will teach you and God will guide you, I'm sure of it. So not only does God change us, but prayer also changes other people as well. It changes the hearts and lives of others, because we should be praying for others as well. 2 Thessalonians 3:1 says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you." Ephesians 6:19, "And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel." We should be praying on a regular basis, and this is part of our Valley Bible Church prayer. Open up doors for us for the gospel. We can't bring people to Christ on our own, and we cannot bring people to maturity on our own. We have to pray for people to come to Christ. We have to pray for people to grow. Also part of the Valley Bible Church prayer is Philippians 1:9-11. And I love this, these verses. And I've told you before in years past, this has been my prayer for Valley Bible Church since I first came. "In this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ Jesus, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." Pray that for other people. Pray that they would grow in love and knowledge and sincerity and holiness until the day Christ comes back, and that they would be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes from Christ. That's the priority of God. Yes, we can pray for answers to prayers, journeys, provisions, surgeries. But in the middle of that, God, teach them these things. Use this journey for them to grow in these things. Use this surgery for them to grow in these things. Use their lack that they are asking for provision for, so that they would learn to grow in these things, to grow in godliness, in love, etc. We are to pray for things. We are to pray for God to change people. And the last thing is pray for God to be glorified. We read this morning, we prayed it last week, and we're going to pray it again this morning, Ephesians 3:21. "To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." don't let that just be a prayer that you tack on at the end of a prayer. And Lord, may you be bring glory to yourself. God is glorified when we see him work, when we name it, when we say it. This is what you have done. Thank you. And we see your grace, we see your mercy, we see your compassion, we see your forgiveness, we see your provision. This is the kind of God that you are. And we say those things, and that's what brings glory to him when we thank him for growing us. Prayer is something that we must do together, but we must do it individually as well. A couple of weeks ago, my wife and I were at a fish hatchery up by Clark Fork, Idaho. It's where they grow kokanee salmon and some cutthroat trout, and it was fascinating. You know, they put these fish in what they call a raceway. It's just like a big swimming pool, and it's long. And the fishing game guy was telling us about all the different kinds of fish that they had there. And we were walking up, and he said, "Notice how they're all at one end, and they just all gathered together." I said, "Yeah." And he says, "Because that's how fish feed." He said, "Watch this." He took a handful of fish food, and he said, "Stand back, because you're going to get wet." And he threw it into the water, and it just bubbled with all these fish going after the fish food. And I got thinking, that's just like us. We gather together, and we have to feed together. We have to pray together. We have to do all this together. Each person must be fed individually. Each person must grow individually, but we have to do it together. It's essential for those fishes, for their growth, for their health, for their survival, and for us as well. For our health and for our growth and for our survival, we must grow together, but we must grow individually as well. As we worship together, fellowship together, and pray together. With that, I would like you to stand and we're going to pray. This is the Valley Bible Church prayer. You have it in a bookmark, but it's going to be on the screen as well. And I want you to recite it out loud, and then we're going to pause for a minute, and then we'll go to the next portion, and we will recite it out loud. But would you say with me, "We thank you, God, for the grace which was given us in Christ Jesus and for our fellowship as saints." Would you take a moment and give thanks to God for those who are around you? And would you pray with me about godliness? "In this we pray, that our love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, strengthened with his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience." Would you take a moment and pray for the person next to you, or maybe the person in front of you, or the person behind you, that they would grow in love, in knowledge, in godliness. And would you join with me in praying about the gospel? "That you will open up for us a door for the word, so that we may speak the mystery of the gospel with boldness." Would you take a moment and pray for a friend, a family member, a coworker, a neighbor, someone that you know that does not know Christ? Pray for their salvation and pray for an opportunity for the gospel. Finally, would you pray with me to proclaim God's glory? "To you be the glory in our church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." And God's people said, "Amen." You are dismissed.